Dr. Shakir, if you're ready. That the evidence you will give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
You state your name, please, for the record.
My name is Annette Thresa Goins Shakir.
One moment, Dr. Shakir.
You have been here throughout the day, I think.
Yes.
Right? So you've heard all of the proceedings up until this
yes.
point. Okay.
Where do you live?
I live in Tougaloo, Mississippi.
And what do you do there?
I am a professor of education at Tougaloo College, which is located in Tougaloo, Mississippi.
Right. When were you born?
December 19th, 1943.
And just briefly, give me your education after high school.
After graduating from Gibbs High School in St. Petersburg, Florida, in 1961, I went to Bethune-Cookman College, which is a private school in Daytona Beach, Florida. I received a BS degree in elementary education from Bethune-Cookman College. I taught public school for a while, and then I went to Florida A&M University and received a master's of education with emphasis in administration and supervision in 1972. And then from there, I went to Florida State University, where I received a Ph.D. in curriculum development with emphasis in early childhood education and supervision and administration in 1974.
And after that, what did you do?
After that, I went to Virginia State University, where I was the director of the Matoka Laboratory School, which is a lab school on the campus of Virginia State, and I directed that school. And then I returned to Florida, where I was employed at Bethune-Cookman College as an assistant professor of education, and then moving on to associate professor and then professor of education, and chaired the division of education at Bethune-Cookman College, and then served as the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Bethune-Cookman College for 1 year, and then moved to Mississippi with my husband, who is President of Tougaloo College in Mississippi.
Who is your father?
My father is Arnett Turner Goins.
Forgot to ask you, where were you born?
I was born in St. Petersburg.
And who's your mother?
My mother is Anna Jones Goins.
Dr. Shakir, how old were you when you first understood what really happened at Rosewood, Florida?
When I first understood, in my late teens.
And how was it that you, take me from the beginning, as far back as you can go, when do you first remember becoming aware of it?
Well, as children, we knew the adults would talk about something that we were not supposed to hear. And we, at family gatherings, when we went to visit families in our family in the Coochie, the adults would kind of get away and talk among themselves. And of course, as we grew older, we start listening through the walls and wanted to know what they were whispering about. We really did not know the details of what had happened. We knew something had happened, that there was an incident, but what had really happened, we did not know until really the 60-minute piece came out.
That's why your answer surprised me. When I asked you when you first really understood,
mm-hmm.
would that be when the 60-minute piece came out?
Yeah, the full understanding of it.
Is that the 1983?
Can I get that?
Yes.
Was that in
1983? 1983, yes. And that's when I personally put all the little pieces together.
And you were 40 years old at that time.
Mm-hmm. Right after...
Go ahead.
Excuse me.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say shortly after the 60-minute piece, then story came out in the St. Petersburg Times.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, gave me additional information on the Rosewood Massacre.
Okay. So that came out at about the same, at around the same time or right after the 60-minute piece?
I think it was about a year later.
Okay.
So.
Did you ever ask your father where he was born?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
Around the Gainesville area.
Did he ever say anything about Rosewood?
No. And as I grew older, I used to ask him specifically where around the Gainesville area, and he'd say, around the Gainesville area.
You ever tease him about that?
Well, one time, I guess at some point, I heard the word Rosewood as a city, and that was where they were living. And being a teenager, I kind of teased him and said, so you told me you were from Gainesville, the big city, but really you were born in this little town called Rosewood. And my mother right away called me in the room and told me not to tease Dad about that. And I didn't understand why, but in reaction to what my mother had said, I just didn't say anything else about it again.
You ever seen your father cry?
No, never. Not at funerals, not ever.
In your culture, do people commonly cry?
Yes.
At funerals?
Mm-hmm, very much so.
What do you know about the property? Let me back up a minute. Since the 60 Minutes program and the St. Pete Times article, have you made an effort to find out what Rosewood was really like?
Yes.
What do you know about your family's property in Rosewood?
Well, I found out that my grandfather, Goins, had a turpentine steel.
Ed Goins?
Yes. Great-grandfather, really. My great-grandfather.
All right.
That there was the Goins quarters, which were houses owned by the Goins family.
Who lived in those?
I think people who worked at the steel.
All right.
Not here specifically. I knew the Goins owned property, a lot of property. I've recently heard through documentation, although I have not researched it myself, that the Goins family did own a lot of property in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, on my grandmother's side, the Carriers.
Let me stop you just a minute before you get to the Carriers. Where did Goins' children live?
You mean in Rosewood?
Yeah.
Where did they live?
Yeah. I mean, did the Goins children live on land near Ed Goins?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Go ahead and go to the carriers.
On my grandmother's side, Sarah Carrier was my great-grandmother. And, of course, she had the two-story house with a lot of rooms. I know there was a fireplace because I've heard stories about the children playing in front of the fireplace. Picket fence, piano, organ, white curtains, that sort of thing.
All right.
Nice house.
All right. There come a time when the Rosewood families, or a number of the members of the Rosewood family, started to gather each year?
Yes.
Do you remember approximately when that began?
I think in 1984.
Okay. Did you attend those meetings?
Some of them.
Okay.
Initially, I used to go, like, if it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I would go and pick up my dad, and because Dad would not stay overnight anywhere, I would go and pick him up and my mom and take them over maybe for the Sunday church service that they always had. And then we'll go back. So initially, we just went over to the Sunday church service, which was then held in the Coochie.
By the way, speaking of Lacoochee, did you ever spend time in Lacoochee before that?
I spent all my summers in Lacoochee as a child. That was the only place I was really allowed to be other than my parents' home. And during the summers, I used to go to Lacoochee and spend time with my Aunt Phil, who was Arnett's mother. And I did that every summer until I became a teenager. So all of my summers were spent in Lacoochee.
Did you ever have any spats with your father about staying overnight elsewhere, staying away elsewhere?
Oh, I never was allowed to stay anywhere else. Although I had friends, but I was not given permission to stay over at anyone's house or anything like that. And even in college, I couldn't go home with people, like roommates.
Couldn't go visit their home.
No, not to stay overnight. I could visit, but not to stay for weekends and like roommates. So they could come home with me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, you start going over to Lacoochee for weekend or church?
For the family reunion?
Right.
Yes. Okay. And then we start going to a couple of them like on a Saturday, and we'll go back and then come back for church service.
Okay.
And of course, the one year before last was held in Mississippi, and I was the hostess of that.
Okay.
And we extended the invitation to give the family the experience of leaving the state. Some of them had never left the state before, and it was coming to a college campus, which was quite protective. And I thought they would be comfortable in that situation. And so my husband and I extended that invitation. And to my surprise, they agreed to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did charter a bus. And they came to Mississippi and stayed on the college campus for a weekend,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a wonderful experience for all of us.
Did there come a time in the 1980s when there developed maybe some conflict with respect to whether or not folks should talk about Rosewood, what people should do about Rosewood, that type of thing?
Yes.
Tell me how that developed.
Well, first of all, my aunt, who was the matriarch of the family, definitely did not allow anyone to talk about it.
What was her name?
Philomena Doctor. Mm-hmm. That was my father's sister.
And our
Arnett's mother.
And did she say why? Or could you tell why?
Fear. And protection. I think that they figured what we didn't know wouldn't hurt us.
Okay.
And if we were not exposed to that knowledge, there's no way people could use it against us. And so, because of fear and their needing to protect us, they did not want to involve us in it.
Did everybody in attendance at the meetings agree with that position?
No.
Who didn't agree with that position?
there was Miss Davis from Miami, who she and Aunt Phil used to constantly discuss not discussing Rosewood, that it was a family matter and that it should not be discussed openly. Mm-hmm. And that was always not an agenda on the family reunions program, but just in informal conversation, that discussion would come up between them.
Mm-hmm.
And the family would just kind of sit and wait until they finished these discussions. I'm making this mildly quitting this.
It was pretty heated?
Pretty heated, yeah. Yeah. They were both very strong women.
Did y'all have booklets that you published when, for family reunions like this? It's a copy.
Yes, we had programs, and this one is from Tougaloo.
This is from the one you
did? This is from the one I did at Tougaloo. Mm-hmm.
I've given them.
And we have an agenda with, you know, the activities and all of that.
This was actually colored red out here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've given this to Mr. Peters, and I'd ask that it be received.
No objection.
Where is Tougaloo, Mississippi?
It's outside of Jackson, Mississippi. Okay. It's really a suburban area of Jackson, but we keep the name Tougaloo for historical reasons.
Which is number 4?
I believe it is. Thank you. Did anybody else side with LaRuth Bradley about whether or not Rosewood should be discussed outside the family? Or even inside the family, I guess.
I don't know of anyone else. I know I didn't. Of course, with the recent development with Minnie Lee, she and Miss Davis both went public with the story.
All right. And when did Philomena Doctor die?
I'm not sure the year, but as soon as she died, that was when Miss Davis went public with the story. It was after her death.
After her death.
Mm-hmm.
January 91 sound approximately right for her death?
Yes. Yes, it was.
So is it fair to say that Philomena Doctor and others felt strongly and fearfully about not going forward, but others felt at some point we should go forward?
Yes.
And eventually after her death, that kind of energy was released?
Yes. Someone had the nerve to do it after her death.
Did you ever hear any discussions between Arnett Doctor and his mother about whether or not he should go to Rosewood?
Yes.
What was that?
She did not want him to go. But she did say to him that if she felt the need to do it after her death, she could do it.
Tell us about the incident in graduate school, when you were in graduate school, when you were at,
the
registration desk with your dad?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was in graduate school, and I went to represent Kappa Delta Pi, which is an honor society in education for Florida A&M University. And I flew to Phoenix, Arizona to a Kappa Delta Pi meeting. And at the registration desk, someone was behind me, this white gentleman was behind me, and the lady asked me my name. And of course, I told her Annette Goins. And when I finished registering, the white gentleman asked me to repeat my name again. He was standing behind me, and I just told him Annette Goins. He said, "Well, where are you from?" And I told him Florida, and he said, "Who's your father?" And I told him Arnett Goins. And he said, "Who's your grandfather?" And I told him George Washington Goins. And he said, "How long have you been living in Florida?" And I told him. And so after I got back home after that trip, and I just happened to be home, and I was just talking to Dad about it. And I said, "You know what happened? You know, I was in Phoenix, Arizona. This man was behind me. White man was behind me, and he asked me my name. I wanted to know your name and who was my grandfather." And I told him this and that and the other. And my dad looked at me, and he was very upset, and he said, "Don't ever talk to strangers. I've told you about that before. Why would you talk to him? Don't ever do that again."
That's all I have right now. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I just had a question, Shakir. You are not listed as one of the claimants in this particular bill.
No.
And that's correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I have a question. I may have misunderstood the testimony, but I gather there was disagreement Rosewood family reunion about when to "go public," end quote.
Well, disagreement in the sense of whether or not it should be discussed openly, or whether we should continue to keep this from being discussed.
When was that disagreement resolved? Were you determined to go public?
Well, I never was determined to go public.
Okay,
I think, when Minna Lee and Lee Ruth Davis went public, that being for the 6th Amendment piece, which was done in, 1984, I think.
1984.
1984,
That was with consensus of the Rosewood family?
Oh, no. No, that was by surprise. Everybody was very surprised to see that.
I want to clarify this. Yeah. First, 1983 is what I have as the 16 minutes,
okay,
which I think is correct. And as I understand your testimony, at that point in time, no one was really willingly participating with the investigation. But
that's
pursuing
correct.
The claim as a means of compensation, which is either through your attorneys in a lawsuit or coming here as you are today, that was the event in 1991 that you're referring to, as I understand your testimony.
Yes.
That actually pursuing something as a means of when you say go public, you're, this was obviously public.
Yeah, it was public already, but I think our involvement then became the issue of making sure that the story was told correctly.
But when you say going public, you mean the family actively pursuing not just that aspect of it, but the aspect of what we're doing here today, which is a proceeding where all of this is being aired out in a fashion that may lead to some compensation. Is that, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Then the nationwide disclosure of Rosewood on 60 Minutes 10 years ago, you're saying that was not accurate and you wanted go public to make it accurate?
No, I'm not saying it was not accurate. I'm just saying that a matter of our getting involved in making sure that, well, it was not accurate in recently when it was told that there were only two survivors. That point has been made before.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was our concern because I knew that my father was a survivor and my Aunt Phil had been a survivor and Gretchen's mother and some other persons were survivors. And so our involvement with it from that point on was to make sure that it was known that there were
other
survivors.
Who was the catalyst for the 6 minutes airing 10 years ago among the group of claimants now? No.
I would suppose the people who were on there, and that was Minnie Lee Langley and Lee Ruth Davis.
I confess I haven't seen the tape.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then most recently on another talk show last year, the same two persons were on television, national television, saying that they were the only survivors.
So those two persons essentially 10 years ago, without consensus of the other Rosewood survivors, lifted the veil here.
That's correct. And I don't know if they needed permission because they were grown. They are adults. But my concern personally was when I kept hearing that they were the only survivors.
We have in evidence a brochure from one of the family reunions. I think I saw a videotape wherein there were Rosewood survivor T-shirts or something, yellow shirts, red shirts. Is that right?
We always have family T-shirts at our family reunion.
With print on them or something indicating you're a Rosewood survivor or Rosewood family or something like that?
Well, with the family name. Mm-hmm. Since we've had the family reunion.
Are those publicized in the communities when they have them? Like, is it in the society page that the Rosewood survivors or the Rosewood families are meeting here? Is there any
is there a public announcement?
Yeah, I mean, is there any media attention to that when it happens or anything?
No, not until recently.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we do have a directory of names that of people who have been coming to the reunion, and we always ask to for other members to give us family members that they know so that we can always extend the invitation.
Who originated the idea of having the annual family reunion?
Well, I call her my Aunt Sweetie. Had always had the idea, but again, because some of the older people did not want us to get together, did not agree to do it. And there's a lady in Lacoochie whose name is Annabelle Lee, who was the first one to really come up and to organize us to come together. And it really, I think, started out almost like just a church service on Sunday. We come down for church service together. And then eventually it grew to the weekend, Saturday, coming in on Friday, then doing some family activities on Saturday, and then Sunday school and church activities.
And we use the word family, but we're really talking about more than a Bradley family, more than a Goins family. The family is Rosewood.
Well, right. I use it to mean the Rosewood family comprises six individual families, because these families married each other. For example, My grandmother was a carrier. My grandfather was a going, and they, you know, married each other, Robertsons and that. So all of these families were joined together by, of course, the commonality of a community life, as well as marrying each other. For example, two sisters married two brothers, and that sort of thing.
These have been going on, the reunions, for more or less 10 years, sometime after the 60 Minutes TV show.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say right after, but...
Mr. Bradley on 60 Minutes, he's related to the Bradleys. Does he come to these? Has he ever come to them?
No, he has not. Not that I know of. Uh-huh.
Has he ever been extended invitation? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Is the Ed Bradley in here? That's not the Ed Bradley.
No, Mr. Bradley is not asserting the claim. But he could. No, not under the definition in the claim statement.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that wasn't who we were referring to. Go ahead.
I have no way of knowing whether or not he is really related to the Bradley.
Is that a stipulation that he is?
It is our understanding that he is. Where that comes from and how that is specifically spelled out, I don't know.
Given, I'm sorry.
He's not a claimant.
All right. I'm sorry. Briefly, have you personally had any involvement with the court system or law enforcement issues? Circulated through university systems, such as a witness or anything like that, or a complaint, or a request to police.
I'm insulted that you have to ask.
No, ma'am. I don't mean to insult you. I'll explain why if I need to.
No, Mr. Peter's question was not, have you ever had any criminal activity? His question is, I think, related to his questions of other people, have you ever needed police protection?
No.
Have you sought? And I that's what he
said. Yes, I didn't mean to insult you.
No.
One of the themes of my case is this willingness of claimants to, or the need to be involved in law enforcement, and if that was a comfortable relationship, my next question would be, well, have you ever considered asserting your rights in a court of law? I apologize, I didn't mean to insult you. But your answer was no, you haven't.
No.
Okay. Do you know who Michael O. McCarthy is?
I've heard the name. I don't know him personally. I think he's related to this whole contract issue of a movie or something. And I've only read about it.
Okay, has he ever been discussed in the family reunion?
No.
What do you know of him from what?
I've only read articles that he was involved in a movie contract or something with Lee Ruth Davis and Minnie Langham, but I don't know if that's factual or not.
Right. Thank you, ma'am. Again, I didn't. I'm sorry.
I think.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you'd come all that way. Do we have anyone else that we can do in 15 minutes? I think you better say no.
No.
The plan is that we are going to be in room 217 of the house to take the expert at 1:30 on Tuesday. And Lynn will send out a notice for everybody just for the record, but I want everyone to know that will be where we'll be on Tuesday at 1:30, 217 house, which means it'll be a much smaller room, but I expect since we're not dealing with the actual people who were at Rose, we'll have a smaller audience. And the other thing is we can confirm this room for next Friday at 3:17, and I expect at that time to undertake whatever review we have of Exhibit 1. And are we going to have Dr. Jones here?
I think we're going to try and get the team here so that Jim can ask questions of them.
Yeah, I would like to put on the record their methodology, if nothing else.
At least.
So it, can someone make sure that Maxine is here or Dr.
Sure.
Jones is here?
Sure, we'll talk with her.
Okay.
And we had some discussion about...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 9:30 next Friday at 3:17.
All right.
Not 3:17 and 9:30. Okay.
We had some discussion about all of the team being here in the event there is disagreement among their numbers. Potentially we're going to have six people here. Is that correct?
I'm comfortable with whatever you all want to do insofar as leading us through the report. I think it will help Mr. Kearns and myself to understand the methodology, and I think Dr. Jones is prepared to tell us how they went about their task and who did what.
Yes.
Now, to the extent anyone needs to expound upon what is in here, that's up to you all. If you feel like you need Dr. Rivers or Professor Colburn or Mr. Dye, whoever else that you might want to have a question about that, that's up to you. But I would expect Dr. Jones to be
here. If the team is comfortable with one person speaking for what the team did, then I'm comfortable. If they're not, then I'm not.
Well, I think that Dr. Jones indicated to me that if we had specific questions, she would rather have the whole team here because that's going to be difficult for some of them to answer specific questions on specific issues.
I will.
Okay. You might just want to talk to Dr. Jones, and I know Professor Rivers is right down here, too. The ones I'm thinking of, I guess it's Professor Colburn that we're going to have to talk to because he's in Gainesville, and he may have some problem getting here. But if we can do without him, that's fine with me.
We'll meet with him. Jim and I will both try and meet with him.
Okay, so by Tuesday, you'll let me know who's coming.
Right. I have one thing I'd like to do before we leave, which I think may be helpful to both of you.
All right.
Because I think I've heard a question raised in your mind, and I'd like to give you this. Jim's got it, too, and this is the lineage chart.
I'll take it. I know it's with objections, but I just want it when we get... By the way, Mr. Doctor is here.
Yeah. And he'll be back Friday.
And I apologize. Who is Mr. Doctor?
Mr. Doctor? Yeah.
I apologize for not reaching you today. You were here and you saw how lengthy we went with Dr. Tucker, and sometimes that happens at hearings. But if you can be here next Friday, we would appreciate it. And hopefully by then I'll have a better understanding of some of these issues about who the families are.
Let me explain. If I can there, take that lineage.
I'm going to go ahead and mark it.
Number five?
As a composite five. Lynn. You want to tell us how...
I think, actually, to tell you the truth, I tried to get this attached as an exhibit to the claim bill, but they can't... They got two...
They won't do it.
They won't do it. Everything I tried to change about claim bill procedure was rejected. I said procedure, not substance. Starting with the first page, surviving eligible individuals. You'll see there's a mark R there on some of them and SV there on some of them. These are the 11 people that we know of today who are alive and who were there, and there needs to be divided into in Rosewood, R, and surrounding vicinity, SV. Okay? Over on the next page, survivors of deceased eligible individuals, number one, these are people, you start up at the top left there, you see George Goins and Goins and Carrier lineage and Vera Hamilton. These are people who, Mr. Goins is deceased, and the claim of Vera Hamilton is a claim to take through his estate. And there's also, as you heard today, a separate claim of psychological harm to the children. But the major claim would be taking his share through the estate.
Okay, I see.
And the army.
I got
that rose.
Right.
Yeah.
And I need to qualify that by saying that's best available information. That's difficult. There are, and SV could get... particularly SV could get...
I understand your contention, and all of these people that have the R's or the SV were displaced after this incident.
That's right.
Okay.
How do we define SV? Is that a radius?
It's not defined as presently constituted.
And we're just taking this now, not as fact, just as what the contentions are.
And what will clear up.
Okay.
And I think even among people who are listed here, there are differences of opinion. So we need.
That's, I understand.
That's the best available data.
It puts everything in format for what we're contending.
Exactly.
I thank all of you. This could have been a lot longer, and I appreciate all the work you did. So we'll
Thanks.
See you on Tuesday.
Thanks very much.